J6, number 6A.
So, therefore, because it is this self-operating system, we can only respond to it. As I've said now many times, and perhaps we'll say it many more times, man's responsibility isn't to make the Word of God, to give the statement to everybody in the world, thank goodness. I mean, we begin to realize that's impossible to go over the whole globe and literally present the Word of God. And certainly it's impossible for us to be the Christ. We already see when we try it with the children or whoever, it doesn't work when we try to play the Christ in their life. We usually get a slam door in our face. So therefore, we can't be the Christ. But we can respond to the self-operating system. Now, divine cybernetics, we will see that cybernetics is a term which comes from the Greek, which means steersman or governor. So therefore, we can see that it means to steer. And this word was brought forth into modern times as being used for self-operating systems by Norbert Wiener. You see, I have right here, it said it was coined by Norbert Wiener from the Greek term cybernetes. It means pilot, governor, to steer, to guide, to governor. Norbert Wiener brought this forward in the late 40s as a term in vogue, so to speak, to designate those self-operating systems, such as guided missiles that they were beginning to use, systems that were operating by themselves. Also, the thermostat is a cybernetic system, something that maintains the equilibrium by itself automatically. So we see then there that cybernetics, in Merriam-Webster, says it's the comparative study of automatic control systems. Now, automatic is a bit of a human term because it still has a sense that it's automatic, that perhaps the human is needed to set it into motion. But the term for cybernetics is that it's not so much automatic, but that it's a self-steering system. It needs no human to set it into motion. It steers itself. The American Heritage Dictionary defines cybernetics as the theoretical study of control processes in systems, especially the mathematical analysis of the flow of information in such a system. And spiritually, we call it divine cybernetics, meaning that principle God is that self-steering control system. God is a control system. It's a principle which is a law. Certainly doesn't have the universe uncontrolled. It's in complete control. Even though at times we think our life is totally out of control and it's totally chaotic, by understanding cybernetics, there is never, ever a moment when our life is out of control, whether we think it or not. Even in what we call a state of crisis is still God going on, because that is that second degree, which is also of the human, which is also called the wilderness period or the crisis period or the period of chaos, when God is taking us out of the first degree of false beliefs into the third degree of the spiritual. Our life begins to be restructured as it's taking us into a higher order. And that looks like chaos to us, but it is not chaos to God. It's just restructuring. And you know, today through what they called the strange new science of chaos theory, that whole science of chaos, when they study what we have always called chaotic conditions, such as weather patterns, we always felt they were chaotic, but when they go on in and look at chaos, they find a great order in chaos, that there's nothing chaotic about chaos at all. It's very orderly. So there isn't any chaos which we always felt, something out of control, even in these weather patterns and other what we called chaotic conditions. It's just going through a restructuring cycle, bringing out a higher order. It's taking something from something into something else through a turbulent situation. You know yourself, when we use those little kaleidoscopes, and we change them, how it restructures until you get the pattern. Well, that's what our life is doing. It's just restructuring till another pattern comes forward. So there is nothing going on. If God is all in the all in all, then the only thing going on is God. And everything is under this self-steering government of God. If we knew it, our lives would be wonderful. And we would go with the flow when the restructuring chaotic period comes along. All we say to ourselves is, well, what's the higher order? Don't look at the chaos. Look at the higher order it's trying to bring forward. Say in our lives, let's say a family breaks up or it's going through a chaotic period. And you say, all right, I've got to see what it is the divine love behind this. What's the higher plan? What's the higher order? What kind of a higher response is principle asking for me? See, principle is kicking us out of our old behavior, out of our old attitudes, out of our old inertia, laziness, evil beliefs. You know, we all would love to stay there with our old human characteristics as idiosyncrasies, personalities. We think, well, that's my personality. I just don't like to do things quickly. I like to be plodding along, or I like to do things very quickly and rush around. Or I'm offensive to people, but too bad, that's how I am. Or all these things. That's how astrology defines us, or that's how heredity defines us, or how we defined ourselves sometimes. But principle wants to define us as principle wants to define us, so it'll take us out of those false beliefs of the first degree and take us, as we see now, into the third degree as defined by the wisdom of mind and the purity of spirit and the spiritual understanding of soul and so forth. And therefore, that is a restructuring. Something's got to happen when you go from one paradigm to another. Obviously, you just don't go into it. You restructure. Can you see? Now, we say that's positive. In the past, when we've gone, perhaps we have changed jobs, or we lost a job and have gone into another job, or we've changed from one city into another city, or we have our friends change. We had one friends and now we have other sets of friends. We've had money and now we don't, or we don't and now we do. All these various changes, something has to go on there, you see. So in the past, when we went into chaos, we always asked, what went wrong? I've been studying Christian Science for 40 years and my life is a total disaster. Now what's wrong? See, we were asking the wrong questions. Today we ask, this is exciting. This is a creative period. The Christ is happening in my life. Where is it taking me? Where is it taking the family? Where is it taking my business? Where is it taking my life? And then look for the creative newness. And then dare, and we have to have the guts to live the new paradigm. And that isn't easy, because principle usually takes us to a place where we feel we can't go. We haven't the qualities to go there. You know, that old belief, well, I'm too stupid, I can't go there, or some quality within us tries to keep us from going to where a principle wants to take us. So we let it go. Our lives would be wonderful. That's why she says it's science or suffering. We can go forward and with great joy. A principle has not made life such that we should suffer. That's a human problem in response to being. We suffer because of our dumbness of the system. But once we see what the system's doing to us, we should be the happiest people in the world. Just, this is wonderful. And we're going forward. Even today in the conditions in the world with China and Russia and Poland, you can see the Christ. It's wonderful. Yes, it's unfortunate that through ignorance, governments such as China ignorantly massacre their people. But as someone said, that I think it was President Reagan, when he was recently in England, said, you can't massacre an idea. There is no way that the Chinese themselves say, don't be concerned. A few are martyred, but it will win out. Democracy will win out. So what looks like chaos at a moment, in a few are martyred, though there is only life, there is no death, though it looks through ignorance, a few are martyred, a higher order is coming out. So we look towards the good that's coming out of it. That's not bad. That's good. They're going forward. So everything is good. You see, that's what the minor prophets want to show there in the Christ translation and retranslation, that prophet Joel. Right there, you know, it says that the armies of evil are the armies of the Lord. You know how in that prophet is where all the locusts in the caterpillars come in. That locust is animal magnetism. It's the word is the Christ in the Christ matrix, where all the locusts and caterpillars all come in to eat up the land and to devour the land. That's animal magnetism coming in to rob us, we think, of everything, because change is happening. And suddenly the tone of that prophecy changes and says, stop thinking that that's the army of evil. It's the army of the Lord. It's principle's army to bring out the maximum of good in your life. So that's the cybernetic process is going on. As I said, it's a self-steering control system, always in control. And principle is controlling it through controlling always the flow of information in such a system. Therefore, I didn't bring the slide, but in the study aid, when you look through it, you'll see there that there's a diagram of cybernetics, divine cybernetics, where it shows that principle God is a self-operating, self-steering, self-regulating, self-controlling system, which is error-preventing. It prevents error from occurring, and error-correcting. It's correcting the false beliefs if they're there. So, therefore, we see then that... Oh, yes, let me one more definition of cybernetics. This comes from a book, An Introduction to Cybernetics by W. Rosh Ashby. He says that the peculiarities of cybernetics... He says, many a book has borne the title Theory of Machines, but it usually contains information about mechanical things, about levers and cogs. Cybernetics, too, is a theory of machines, but it treats not things, but ways of behaving. It does not ask, what is this thing, but what does it do? So that's physical cybernetics. But when we always take a term and give it a divine meaning, we lift that term out of its physical meaning into its higher spiritual meaning. We give that symbol another meaning in spiritual values. So that's why we call it divine cybernetics. We're not teaching physical cybernetics. We're teaching divine cybernetics. Just taking that word and, as I just said, using it in the spiritual as a symbol, but with a totally different meaning than the physical mechanistic meaning. We're talking about the spiritual meaning. But it means the same spiritually insofar as in divine cybernetics is not concerned with what a thing is. That's the word. But cybernetics is concerned with what a thing does. That's the Christ. So divine cybernetics is concerned with the Christ, what something does, how something operates, how something regulates the flow of information within a system. Okay? Now, we see then that this cybernetic process is an operating process. It isn't a statement. It's talking about how things behave, how they operate. And so what we see then is that in divine cybernetics, principle God always is described on how principle God operates. So we see that principle God always operates by itself. It's self-operating. I've already mentioned that, so we know we don't set it into operation. Secondly, how does principle God operate? It always operates holistically. Always is the whole. And you know, today that great theory of holism is coming forward in the world in a big way. You have holistic medicine, holistic science. It really started breaking in at the time of Einsteinian physics, when Einstein broke away with his fourth dimensional space-time continuum from Newtonian physics. Newtonian physics looking at the mechanistic world, the big machine world, with only the laws of cause and effect mainly in control. And to Newton's world, the sum, the whole, was equal to the sum of its parts. But when Einstein came along and presented a dimensional universe, a structural universe that has many dimensions, that his mathematics allowed for a dimensional universe. Therefore, in that dimensional universe, relationships became very important. And the universe began to be defined not as the whole being equal to the sum of its parts, but the whole being greater than the sum of its parts. And the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. How? Because of relationships, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. It wouldn't be, wouldn't it, Dave? Yeah, would make it whole, greater, wouldn't it? Because always the example that we have would be like a clock, a watch, that when you take the parts out, if you put them back, the watch parts back in any random, it's likely we're not going to get the tick, tick. But when those parts go back into the right relationship, we get another value called the tick. And so it's in holism, it's that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, because those parts, when they relate together, they give other values that aren't there when the parts are not related. So when they began to see it was a holistic universe in relationships, many different relationships, that's where they got that. So holism has been such that science became a science of holism, a science looking at structures, not at parts. See, Newton's world always looked at a part, and it went in to fix the part. If the part broke down, then the part was fixed. Just rushed right in, fixed the part. Well, the problem with that is that if you don't see the part within the whole, then we can fix the part all right, but it can also, in fixing the part, damage all that which is around the part. So this is true of medicine, especially. When they went in and gave a remedy of some type of a drug to fix a certain organ, it destroyed all the other organs around, but that was finally a healthy organ, but the whole other part of the body became a disaster. Because it was isolated, it didn't look at the whole body and the effect of the drug on the whole body plus the part. Now in holistic medicine, they take in the whole body and then also that particular diseased organ. So it's in anything, in ecology, when there's a bug on fruit, let's say ALAR or whatever, wasn't to get rid of bugs, but it was, I think it was mainly to make the apples crisp and the red apples redder, that they would put that on the apples. Well, you see, 60 Minutes ran a program on how ALAR isn't, it may be good for making red apples redder, but it certainly is not very good for little children to eat. So whenever you try to solve a specific situation without taking the whole into consideration, that they see doesn't work. Then came that whole science of ecology. You can't just use specific chemical on a plant to get rid of the bugs and worms. It's going to get into the water supply, et cetera, et cetera. So you see they are today solving the earth in through the sciences, beginning to do it much more holistically, and that the whole determines what is done in the part. Thank goodness, finally. And that gets rid of self-interest. It will get into corporations too. This self-interest where somebody did something within the stock market just to benefit themselves. Well, look at it being exposed. The selling of junk bonds just to benefit some particular broker, or are the brokers in there trading secretly. Well, it's all being exposed. It isn't good for the whole of the economy, and the economy is such that it needs the whole to be healthy, not just a few pockets greased up a little bit, you see. So it's happening in the science of economy, holistic reasoning, getting after self-interest, certainly in government. Look at the exposing of self-interest in personal lives that's been exposed in government today. All this to and that's not because, it's because God is doing it. The whole won't allow the parts to be corrupt anymore. And they say, well, they were always corrupt. This person certainly isn't any more corrupt than they've always been. That's not the point. No, of course not. But the point is that the whole is dictating. It cannot work. The system can't work with self-interest. Politics, the government cannot go on with all this self-interest. It will break down, and they see it. And certainly Russia is seeing you can't go forward with self-interest. It's breaking in everywhere. It's certainly not because of Gorbachev. It is such that he's so clever that he is the one who's doing it. Principle is impelling it. He just happens to be responding at the moment. Somebody else will respond. But it's saying that it just doesn't work. Period. Anywhere. United States, Russia, anywhere where there is self-interest. In a government, in economy, in ecology, in any system. So science is dictating to the scientist. The principle of politics is dictating to the politicians. It's wonderful. They just can't avoid it. So the world will work because of that. See, it's that principle, God, which is a principle of all principles, isn't it? And it's the principle of everything, of economy, everything. And it is now in control. You just feel it in the world. It's always been in control. It's just that we're just becoming aware of its control. So that's holism. You always consider something from the whole. And we're going to get to that. We'll explain it. So I want to define holism now. From Merriam-Webster, just to show what I mean and what I've explained. It says holism from the dictionary says it's a philosophic theory first formulated by Jan C. Smuts that the determining factor in nature are wholes which are irreducible to the sum of their parts and that evolution of the universe is the record of the activity and making of these wholes. Isn't that nice? A beautiful definition. Or we have from Kapler's book on the science of the oneness of being in Christian Science, where, you know, we aren't teaching holistic medicine according to the world, of course not, or holistic science. Our holistic science is divine, so we take that term and give it a spiritual meaning, and yet it has this higher meaning in it, where he shows in his book on the science of oneness of being in the Christian Science textbook on page 175 under the synergy principle, just another way of talking about holism. He talks about holism that it states that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The word synergy comes from two Greek words, syn, together, and ergon, work, meaning working together. Thus the whole is constituted of the sum of its parts plus the relationships among those parts as they work together within one whole. Or on page 24, he says, the whole is an immaterial network of relationships, and these relationships make the whole greater than the sum of its part. And then on page 175, 176, the whole is an integrated structure which exists and has meaning only as a unified whole, one coherent form. As soon as we try to split this whole into many separate elements, we destroy the very property that makes it what it is. Isn't that wonderful? The essence and meaning of an ocean cannot be explained by dividing it into drops of water and examining them one by one. Dividing into many separate drops, the ocean as a gestalt would be destroyed. Isn't that wonderful? Because an ocean can carry an ocean liner. All those drops of water together become oceanic, so to speak. And that can carry an ocean liner. But one little drop of water, what does it do? It can't carry an ocean, a vessel. It can't carry a ship. So you see, it loses its value when it's split up. And if we only could see this, there would be no jealousy and competition. I think today the greatest sin in the world is jealousy. And it comes at hatred, in fear. But this jealousy is very, very bad because it's the opposite of love. And it will come out in the 7,000-year period probably more than we've ever seen it before, as nothingness being exposed. by love, because the 7,000-year period is a period of love which analyzes and covers and annihilates its opposite. But the sense of the hatred for the divine idea, because the people not wanting to go forward, you'll get the human hatred for truth, because they're afraid to go forward. See, all that opposite of love, which will appear as jealousy against the idea, persecution against the idea. But if we understood holism in that each one is that principle, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the principle, that each one has their unique place, value within principle. Nobody can do another one's job, and nobody wants to do another one's job. Everybody has all they can do to our own job. Why in the world would we want to be somebody else and try to get their job? Just looking over the shoulder, comparing, you see, splitting it up into the drops of water and then comparing one drop with another. Well, I think this drop of water is better than that drop of water, don't you? It really must be better. Well, a drop of water is a drop of water. They're both the same. I mean, or, you know, an apple's better than an orange. But how can one say an apple's better than an orange? An orange is an orange and an apple is an apple. They're fulfilling their unique place. You can't compare them. And this comparing, you know, that's dividing and conquering. You lose the oceanicness. We lose the purpose of something. So one can't compare one with another. They're different. And each one is fulfilling their mission. And if the comparison would stop and the jealousy would stop, it would let the idea go forward, even within our work. One can't compare one with another. If we got into competition or jealousy or comparing, our work would not go forward. Because the oceanicness, the ability to carry the idea forward, cannot go on the shoulder of one person. One chosen few. This comes out so well in the theology chapter. We are not of a dynasty that is passed down from one person to the next person to the next person. Mrs. Eddy said it would be generic man would lead on the centuries. It is too big for one person to do it. Maybe individual Jesus could do it, or even a Dorley or Kapler, but we've left the 5,000-year period. We're leaving the 6th. We're going into the 7,000-year period of generic man. We've all got to do it as an ocean. And if we start dividing each other up and comparing each other with one drop and another, it will lose the oceanicness, and nobody can take the ship forward. None of us. We can only take the ship forward if we stay together as a whole and carry it forward. But thinking that, well, it drops into Roman Catholicism is all it does.